Please stand, and we're going to read our scripture reading today responsively. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And if you would prefer, on the back of your bulletin is our scripture reading. And the congregation will read the verses that's in bold. Exodus 2, 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi.
The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flag by the river bank.
And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it.
And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children."
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?"
And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother.
And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it.
The child grew, and she brought on him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses. She said, "Because I drew him out of the waters."
May God bless our reading of the word today, and you may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, it's a privilege for us to come together to worship You today. We thank You for all that You've given to us. We thank You for Your Word. And we recognize these are true words and faithful, and they are from You. And we thank You that we have this message, and we have this gospel which is given to us to show us the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank You that through His work, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that our salvation is provided. And so we come to You today in Jesus' name, and we ask for Your help. We pray for this congregation, and we pray for the needs that we have today. Lord, we need to hear Your word, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit would help us to see the truth in it that would change our lives, that would encourage us, that would help us. And so we pray for that. We pray for the needs of each one that's here today. Think of those in our church who are not able to be here, those who are sick, and those who are traveling. And we lift up, especially Pastor Gossman as he's there in the hospital. We ask for his healing. We pray also for Keith, as he is also there in the hospital, and pray for the doctor's wisdom there for both these men and others, Lord, perhaps that are sick, not able to come to church. We pray that You would heal them and just strengthen them today. Lord, we just thank You for Mother's Day and for the influence of our mothers, and we thank You for Your love that's demonstrated through them. And we just think of those perhaps that today is a hard day for them, and we pray for special encouragement for them, and that You would help them as well. Lord, we come to worship You, and we pray that You would help us to be able to set aside distractions and to be still and to know that You are God, and that You'll be exalted in the earth. And so we pray that our worship would be pleasing in Your sight. And as we come today with our tithes and offerings to worship, we pray that our hearts would be grateful for all that you've given. And so we dedicate the offering to you today as well. We pray for our missionaries, and we ask that you would sustain and strengthen them and help them as they give the gospel in various parts of the world. We pray that the work would go on there, and that you would bless their efforts and help them to see fruit for their labors. We pray, Lord, for our own testimony here in this community. We pray that you would help us in the way that we live and what we say and do to point others to Jesus Christ and to God's Word. And so we pray for open doors to be able to witness for you, and we ask that you would help us. And we lift up our country today, Lord. We thank you for the United States of America, and we pray for our authorities, as you've instructed us, to pray for them and help them to recognize their duty to obey your word. We know some are believers that are authorities in this government. We thank you for their influence. And, Lord, we pray for those who are not believers, that they might come and see the gospel and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We pray for our president, Joe Biden. We ask that you would guide him and help him to turn to you. And for our governor here in Ohio, Mike DeWine, we pray also that you would help him to make wise decisions, that we might have peace in this land, that we might be able to live according to your word and according to how you have instructed us to believe and to live. And so we thank you for all that you've given, and we just dedicate the rest of our time to you, and we ask that you would be honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take our hymnals again and turn to number 303, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me. Number 303, and let's all stand as we sing. Seated. This time we're going to have a special number from Michaela and Eva and Anna. They're going to come and sing.
Thank you.
right. Thank you very much, girls. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Hope that all of us will have that prayer as we try to serve the Lord and serve our mothers as well, especially today as it's Mother's Day. Also the ladies yesterday, the girls sang there at the ladies' brunch, and thankful for each one that was able to come and the work that went into that, those that helped to plan that. My wife and Tabitha and Becky and I think Debbie too. I know there's others, but just appreciate all the ladies who were involved in that. So thank you so much. So it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day once again. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 2 this morning. So turn there if you would, please. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. You know, maybe some of you were thinking about what is your mother need today? What is it that a mother really needs? You know, some mothers need sleep. And maybe what they really need is to take a nap. And that might be the best gift you can give them today. Some mothers need coffee and to be able to survive. Or maybe they need some time to themselves for a little bit. And mothers need that. And maybe time with friends as well. They probably have that need too. Certainly they need us to show some appreciation to them today as well. But as we look at God's Word today, in this passage, we see that the greatest thing that a mother needs is faith. And we're going to look at this mother of faith here in Exodus 2. We have an example here of the mother of Moses. And the scriptures actually highlight her faith. We could turn to Hebrews 11, where we have that hall of fame of faith. And we have Moses' mother listed here as one who had faith. In Hebrews 11:23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." So according to that verse, actually both parents had faith, but certainly the mother of Moses is included there. And so knowing that about her, we see what is important for all mothers or all non-mothers, and in fact everybody, all of us. This is something that we need today to see the faith of Moses' mother. And so as we look at Exodus, we see, first of all, a faith that overcomes difficult circumstances. We see in Moses' mother a faith that overcomes difficult circumstances. Let's look actually back in chapter 1, and we see the difficult life of slavery here in Egypt. Exodus 1, verse 7. "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king of over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor." So we see here that Moses' mother was one of these Hebrews that was enslaved in Egypt. And so we read about the harder burdens that they were to carry, and the king of Egypt is concerned about the growing Hebrew population there. And so he inflicts on them harder burdens to bear. And I wonder if Moses' mother was overwhelmed by that and thought, how are we going to deal with this as a family, and how are we going to function? Did she wonder what would become of her and her two children that she already had, Miriam and Aaron? The Bible tells us that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. But she had this difficult life. And then we read of this difficult time to be expecting a baby. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. The Pharaoh charged the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And then we come to verse 2, or chapter 2. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. It's a difficult time to be expecting a baby. It seems that just the time that Pharaoh made these new laws about the Hebrew children, that Jochebed, that's her name, Scripture tells us in Exodus chapter 6, her name is Jochebed. Jochebed conceives and becomes pregnant. And I wonder if she thought about the timing of that. Could there be any worse time to have a baby? This time when not only are they slaves, but the king has outlawed survival of boy babies. Said the midwives there to kill them. And then after that didn't work, he said every boy should be cast into the river. Could there be any worse time? I wonder if she thought, why couldn't it have been before all this trouble? But it, just the time of the height of Pharaoh's cruelty, God ordained that Jochebed would become pregnant with Moses. God, at this time, sent the one who would deliver them from the cruelty of Pharaoh. So we see the circumstances of her faith. It was a faith that overcomes difficult circumstances. We look at our circumstances and perhaps we see difficulty and danger. You know, we look at the world today and we see the world seemingly getting worse. And we see the same, I believe, the same spirit of destruction that was there in Egypt. We see that same spirit in the world today. And yet, even in those difficult times, we are called to have faith. And we see in Moses' mother that she had a faith in God that overcame those difficult circumstances. Maybe there's circumstances of motherhood for some people that are less than ideal. Perhaps somebody looks at their own life and they say, you know, this is not the lot that I would have chosen. I did not choose this at all. And yet that is the circumstance that God has given. And that is the circumstance that we are called to have faith in, to overcome through faith. Maybe some look at what somebody else has and they think, boy, I'm jealous of what that other person has. They're in the same state of life that I'm in, and look at what they have and I don't have. And we have to come to accept the circumstances that God has ordained, and to be willing to exercise faith in God in those times. So we see that her faith was a faith that overcomes those difficult circumstances. Then secondly, this morning, we see that the faith of Moses' mother was a faith that showed itself. It was a faith that showed itself. It was not just merely in her heart. It came out, and we see the actions, the works that were a fruit of her faith. I want you to notice some of those. I think the first one is that she got married and had a family. In verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. You know, she had faith and was willing to get married and to obey God in that and to have a family. we have a few words there about her home life, but as I mentioned, Exodus 6:20 tells us that her husband's name was Amram, her name Jochebed, and she had these other two children, Miriam and Aaron, and now she has this third child, Moses. But we see that her faith was demonstrated in the circumstances of her home and her marriage and her family. And that's something that can still be done today. You know, there may be some of us who long for some other and greater, different situation to serve God. And we might overlook the place where God has given for us to serve. And that is, first and foremost, in our homes, in our families. And all of us need to see the obligation there, that we can demonstrate our faith at home, first of all. And that's what we see with Moses' mother. Maybe some of you have heard the name of Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was a mother. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were the founders of the Methodist Church back in the 1700s. And Susanna Wesley actually was the mother of 19 children. Not all of them survived to adulthood. I think 10 or so survived to adulthood, but 19 children. She had many challenges in her life, but she never gave up on her faith or her family. And you look at Susanna Wesley and you see the example that she was of exercising her faith at home, of taking time with each one of her children and teaching them the Bible and helping them and memorizing their verses and spending time with them. Perhaps not a lot of time with as many children as she had, but she'd spent that time. And today she's known as the mother of Methodism because of that role that she had in shaping the influence or shaping the spiritual lives of her sons. But we can see the evidence of her faith in her home. And that's what we see here, even just briefly, with Jochebed. And then a second evidence here, actually, that Hebrews 11:23 tells us, is that she hid her son 3 months. Hebrews 11:23 again says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. She hid her son 3 months. Look at verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. This word goodly is the word that we find actually in the account of creation in Genesis 1. God saw the light that it was good. And I think what's happening here is she recognized that her son was a special creation of God. Her son was a special creation of God. Just like God looked at the creation and said, this is good, she looked at her son and saw that God had created him. It was a special creation of God. And so she hid her son. She did not obey the king's commandment to kill her son. And she understood, her faith looked to this work of God. Perhaps also her faith looked to a promise of God, either a promise to her specifically or a promise to the children of Israel, going back to those promises that were made to Abraham of promising a land and a nation. And perhaps she was looking to that and thinking, I've got to save this baby. How are these, you know, God has given these promises. I'm doing this by faith. And another evidence of her faith is, according to Hebrews 11, she was not afraid of the king's commandment. She was not afraid of the king's commandment. Her faith overcame her fear of the danger from the king. Perhaps there's somebody today that's struggling with a fear of some sort. We see from God's Word that faith can overcome fear. And what we need to know is what God has promised us. If we know what God has promised us, if we know God's Word, what it says about His work, the Bible teaches us that our faith in God can overcome our fears. Sometimes our fears are very strong. But she, Jochebed, was not afraid of the king's commandment. And then, another evidence of her faith here, we see in verse 3, she made a plan. Look at verse 3. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She made a plan. She made an ark of bulrushes, a basket. Bulrushes are papyrus stock. The ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans, they made paper out of papyrus. And evidently, they also made boats. In Isaiah 18:2, it indicates that boats were made from papyrus, from bulrush. Isaiah speaks to the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters. So perhaps she had seen some of these vessels of bulrushes floating down the river. And she thought, I'm going to make myself a vessel of bulrushes. I'm going to make a basket. And then she waterproofed it. It says, she daubed it with slime and with pitch. The word slime is the same or similar to the word mortar in chapter 1, verse 14, when the slaves are working with this mortar. Perhaps her husband had a few jars of this slime from a recent job. And she waterproofed this basket. Then she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Flags are reeds, large water plants. We have the same word used in Jonah, chapter 2, verse 5, where Jonah says, the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round me about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. The weeds. She laid her baby in this basket, in these flags, these weeds. These reeds that were by the water. So she made a plan. You know, having faith oftentimes means taking steps of action. It means obedience. It means protecting others, just like Moses' mother did for him. She took a step. She made a plan to protect him. It means working. It means worshiping. And what we all need today is a faith in God's promises and to see that action come to life. It may be that for somebody here today, there's a plan that you need to make, that God would have you to make. Maybe something that you know you need to do, action that you need to take, something that needs to be done for God. That's what Moses' mother did. She made a plan. She took action. She executed that plan. And then another thing that we see about her faith and its evidence is that she surrendered her son to God. She put the child in this basket. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Her faith led her to surrender her son to God, trusting God alone to care for him. You know, she wasn't abandoning her son. She was giving her son back to God. There was a giving up of her child here at 3 months old. She gave him up at this point. She surrendered him. But we see, as we know the story, that it saved his life. Think about what might have happened if Jochebed said, you know what, I'm just going to keep Moses here and I'm going to try to hide him a little bit longer. What would have happened? Somebody would have heard him. Somebody would have heard him scream and cry, and somebody would have reported him. And his life could have been lost if she had tried to save him. But she surrendered him. She gave him back to God, and it saved his life. And we see the reward of that surrender. She received him back. There's a story about a mission director who was meeting with a lady in Scotland who had two children that were serving on the mission field, one in China, the other in Sudan. And the director was meeting with this lady, and she was explaining how much she missed her children and the situation with her children serving, the danger that they had experienced there in these countries. A few months later, this director got word that a missionary in Sudan had been killed, and it was this lady's son that he had met with. And he felt that he should be the one to break the news to her, and so he visited her in her home. He told her the tragic news, and the mother looked down, and in a few moments, she said, "Sir, I would rather have my son die in the middle of Sudan alone than to have him living here with me, disobeying God's will." She had surrendered her children. She had surrendered her children to the Lord. And perhaps there's some person that we need to surrender to God. And as parents and as mothers and fathers, we all need to do that. We're called to do that, to surrender our kids to the Lord. They're the Lord's. And maybe somebody needs to do that, or perhaps there's some other treasure that needs to be surrendered to God. Perhaps it's a desire or a plan. We need to surrender it to God. And we see here from the passage like this that keeping that for ourselves, keeping our children for ourselves, may be more dangerous than surrendering them to God. God is able to protect them a lot better than we can. So we see the evidence of her faith here. It was a faith that showed itself in her home. She hid her son 3 months. She was not afraid of the king's commandment. She made a plan. She surrendered her son to God. And then we see that her faith was a faith that was rewarded. Look at verse 4 and following. "And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go,' and the maid went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give it thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." The rewards of her faith. Her faith was a faith that was rewarded. How was it rewarded? It was rewarded with the protection of God. Notice how vulnerable that Moses was as he was sitting there in that little basket along the river. He could have been dinner. Could have been dinner for a crocodile in Egypt. He could have floated out to the sea. He could have cried to his death. But what he experienced here was the protection of God. Psalmist said in Psalm 27:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." That's what Moses experienced. The Lord was protecting him. You know, all of us here today, if we have survived our infancy, we can thank the Lord, and probably most of us, we can thank our mothers if we survived infancy. I was fixing a little cabinet, a drawer in our house this week, and had a lot of our family pictures and things. And in that drawer, there was a baby book that my mother had filled out. And I'm the only child. I don't have any brothers or sisters, and so that baby book, I was just flipping through it, and it has a lot of details. You know, my mother, she recorded a lot of things about my infancy. And, you know, there's one page there that had the various doctor's appointments that I went to in my infancy, and all the different ailments that I had as an infant, you know, ear infections, you know, and all these, you know, had a cold, and she wrote down the dates and everything. And so, You know, I have my mother to thank for getting me through my infancy when I couldn't take care of myself. And so do all of you. Somebody took care of you, or somebody acted the part of a mother to you, if it wasn't your birth mother. And the Lord protected Moses. Maybe it was even your sister. Or maybe in spite of your sister, you were protected. And here is Moses' sister, and she's out there looking out for him. What's going to happen to him? Protection of God. And then her faith is rewarded with the providence of God. The providence of God here. God is not mentioned here in these verses. But we see God's providence. We see that His hand was in this. You know, God's providence means that He's actively involved in the world today. He's controlling things. He's working behind the scenes. And sometimes we can see that. The Lord allows us to see how His hand was at work. We couldn't see it going through the situation. But here's one of those passages where we see the providence of God. God's providence in Pharaoh's daughter finding him and having compassion. Verses 5 and 6, we read about Pharaoh's daughter coming to wash herself at the river and finding this basket and opening it and having compassion. And you think about what could have happened. What if she had not compassion and she thought, well, I know the rules and the laws that Pharaoh has made, and this baby needs to be thrown into the river. Here, throw the baby into the river. But she had compassion. The Lord, in His providence, allowed that Pharaoh's daughter would have compassion. And then God's providence in Moses' sister offering to find a nurse, verses 7 and 8. Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? I know somebody. It's my mother. I can find a nurse for this baby. And the providence of God in allowing Pharaoh's daughter to say yes. And not only that, but to say, here, I'm going to pay you to nurse your baby. I'm going to give you wages, it says in verse 9. I will give thee thy wages. The woman took the child and nursed it. And then we read on in verse 10, the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She called his name Moses and she said, because I drew him out of the water. We see even God's providence in Moses being prepared in Egypt. In Acts 7, when Stephen is rehearsing the history of Israel, he speaks about Moses being cast out. Acts 7:21, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Verse 22, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. No doubt that Moses probably was given the best education that Egypt had to offer. Growing up as the daughter, or as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And why did God ordain that? Well, it seems that Moses would have to know how to operate there in the Egyptian context when he was called many years later to go back and to speak to Pharaoh. And not only that, God called him later as a writer of Scripture. Moses was the human author of the first five books of the Bible. And no doubt that training enabled him to be able to serve God in that way. The providence of God. We see God's hand at work behind the scenes. An illustration of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The providence of God. You know, we need to learn to trust the providence of God. That God truly is involved. God did not just create the world and then step back to let the world run however it would run. Now, we see in the Scriptures that God is very much involved in the details of our lives. He's involved in the decisions that we make, the decisions that other people make that we can't control. God is involved. We need to learn to trust Him when we can't see it. But perhaps He will allow us to see it at some point. And we need to trust that He truly does work all things together for good to them that love God. So we see that her faith was rewarded. And then we see it was a faith, most of all, that rests in God. We see it was a faith that rests in God. We see in this passage that God was faithful to His promise to Israel. You know, God had predicted this bondage in Egypt. He told Abraham that the people would serve God in Egypt for 400 years. And even though it looked like the nation would end in Egypt, God was faithful to the promises that He had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to many others after that. He was faithful to His promise. And I think that Moses' mother had her faith resting in the promises of God. Faith needs to rest in God, in the faithfulness of God. And then we see also the fact that God is a God of salvation here. God's covenant with Israel, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see in the Scriptures that that results in our salvation. Those promises that were given to the patriarchs, those were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came through this nation. And God preserved this nation of Israel and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world through Israel. And even in these events in Exodus here, I think we see a foreshadowing of salvation and redemption. You know, we see Moses being saved from the waters here. And a few chapters later, we see God saving Israel from the waters. There at the Red Sea, it looks like it's the end. Pharaoh's armies are right behind them. Then Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And the Lord delivers them there at the Red Sea. Then we see, going all the way into Matthew chapter 2 in the Gospels, we see God saving baby Jesus from King Herod. The same spirit again we see in King Herod as he tries to kill all the babies there, trying to eliminate this one who was born king of the Jews that the wise men had told him about. But we see God's salvation again, God saving, God delivering from these evil kings. And it tells us that God is a saving God. And God will save us from our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in God's Word that God is a faithful and a saving God. And that's what we are to have our faith in. We are to have our faith, not just faith in general, but our faith is to be in what we know about God. He's faithful to His promises. We see that in this chapter. He's faithful to save. He's a saving God. Moses' mother had her faith in God. Perhaps your mother had her faith in God. And whether you're a mother or not, faith is the most important thing about you. God calls us all to believe His Word. We need to see here that God has planned for salvation all the way back here in Exodus and even beyond that. Perhaps there's somebody maybe here today, perhaps somebody listening to this message, and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never put your trust in Jesus. That is what God has provided to save us. And when we see Jochebed putting faith and her faith resulting in action, she was trusting in what she knew, but she was trusting in a God who saves. She was trusting in a faithful God. And today, we need to have our faith rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will save you if you trust Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? I appeal to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. God is a saving God. He wants to save you. He calls you to believe, to accept His gift of salvation. As Christians, we're called to live a life of faith. And we find ourselves in difficult circumstances sometimes, just like Moses' mother did. And we're called to have faith that overcomes those difficult circumstances. And we need to be encouraged as we see this example that that's possible. With God's help, we can have a faith that overcomes these circumstances. We need to have a faith that shows itself. We're called to have faith that results in action and obedience. We need to ask God to help us to live a faith like that as Christians. See, this mother of faith, we're told that his father had faith as well in Hebrews 11. The parents of Moses were both involved. But we see the faith of Moses' mother, Jochebed. We need to remember that and to ask God to help us to live in this example of faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example. Thank you for our mothers, Lord. We thank you for their care for us. And for how you provided for us and sustained our lives. And we just thank you for what you've given. And Lord, we pray that we would see how important our faith is. And we pray that we might persevere. Lord, perhaps there's some who are facing these difficulties today. And we pray that we would see that our faith in you can help us to overcome these. And we pray that our faith would show itself, Lord. We're called in the Scriptures to have a faith that works. And so we pray that you would give us the strength to have the action and the obedience that you would call us to by faith in your word. And we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now.